All right, you've been seated for a while, so why don't you just stand for about 10 seconds, stretch a second, and sit back down. I'd stretch if I had a chance. There, stand, stretch. Don't you feel better? No jumping jacks, but after service, do all you want. You may be seated. I had a message prepared for the next time I spoke. And after I heard about Pastor Al Thompson, I thought, that's not fitting. And I thought, what am I going to do? What am I going to do? And it was Tuesday night. I said to Gene, I said, I'm going to the table. And suddenly I went to the table, and 80 to 90% of what I'm going to speak on this morning came to me Tuesday night. So this is new to me too, but I feel like I have the message for the moment because God just dropped it into my heart. So if you want to turn with me to the main scripture that we have in Proverbs 24:16, the title that came to me was Don't Park at the Point of Your Pain. So I do believe God has a message for us this morning, and I want to encourage you. That's what my hopes is. But Proverbs 24:16 says, for a righteous man may fall seven times and rise again, but the wicked shall fall by calamity. But the main point I want you to see is, for a righteous man shall fall, or may fall, seven times. You know, we live in a society that tries to dictate what we should do, what we should think, what we should wear, how thin we should be, or how heavy we should be, or what clothes we should be, or what fashions should there be, what trend is going on. You know, this, we live in a society, and that's, you know, where we're at. And it's like, it's hard to live up to everybody's expectations. But, you know, we want to focus as Christians, or ones that will be Christians, focus on what God has for us and what God's intentions are, and not sit at society's feet, but sit at the feet of Jesus. Whenever we begin to have confidence, I think it comes through the Word of God. And that's why I have several scriptures. I have some helping me read this morning, because I believe that the Word of God is a lamp unto our feet and a light unto our pathway, and it encourages us, strengthens us. And the Word of God says it will not come back void. In other words, it won't come back without a special effect. Won't come out. It will accomplish what it wants to do. So society is not the same as the Word of God. I want to live in the Word, and you should want to feel the presence of the Lord and feel our emotions, because as human beings, we all have emotions. Sometimes they run strong, sometimes they run light, sometimes they run true, and sometimes they don't run true. But you know, we all go through things. Every single person has a story. Every single living person has a story of good and bad. When I was in Florida, they took us to a gospel night. It was so good. And I know I mentioned this briefly once during the worship song service, but it was Ernie Haas and the Signature Sound and the Crossfire Quartet. But it was a quartet of men. They, you know, they have a prelude, then they have the main singers. And it was so amazing. What was why I'm bringing this out at this moment is what was so great about it is these men that was fantastic singers. I mean, they've won Dove Awards, Emmy Awards, any award that there is in the singing, you know, world, they've won. But you know what they were doing? In between their songs, they were testifying. And each one had a testimony of not only what God did, but of some low place they had been in their life. And a lot of it was losing a father, or losing a mother, or losing somebody. I mean, passing away, very, very tough. And they were saying how, even though they're in the singing quartet, and they, you know, they loved to do what they were doing, and they travel around the world. And one of them, the main group there, Ernie Haas, he's the owner, he said, I've been dealt a real blow, and it was really just losing a parent. And he was saying, I travel around the world, but wow, when that happens, you're like all the rest. It's so hard. It's just so hard. So we all face things. You have a story, I have a story, and it's not easy. But you know what? With God, all things are possible, and he changes us, and he gives us hope, and he gives us encouragement. Right close by that scripture you read, there's another scripture that says, Proverbs 23:7 says this, for as a man thinketh, or as he or she thinks in his heart, so is he. And you know, sometimes our thinking isn't quite lining up to the word of God, and I think that God wants us to think about his word and come out of whatever, wherever we are. If we are feeling pain, we do not want to park at the point of our pain. Because, you know, when our emotions run high, sometimes we feel fear. Sometimes we feel pain. We feel indifference. We feel sadness. We feel helplessness. We feel impatience. We feel anger. Those are all the family of our emotions. And we all feel them at times, but we do not want to stay there. God doesn't want to stay there. He said, if you'll look to me, he said in the New Testament, he would lift us up into a higher plane, and we can sit in heavenly places with Christ Jesus. That is powerful. Not because I'm saying it, but because the Word said it. He'll lift us up. How does he lift us out of all of these emotions of fear and pain and horrible feelings and anger? How does he do that? To me, it doesn't matter how he does it. As long as we yield to it, God can do it. He can do it. God is on your side. God wants to give us an upgrade. How many have a cell phone? You know, the old cell phones we used to have, they were little flip things, and they didn't do a whole lot. Well, you know, sometimes all of a sudden, you know, as time goes on and technology gets better, you know, things get better and better, and then pretty soon we just need an upgrade. Sometimes I think we need to come to the foot of the cross and say, Lord, no matter where I am, and every single one of us are at a different level. Every single one of us, from 0 to 100, we're all at a different level. But still, no matter where we are, I think we need an upgrade. Say, Lord, lift me higher. Lift. That's why we sang Higher Ground. Take me up. Lift me up. And you know, God can do it. He does it. When I was growing up, back in my early days, I didn't know at that time, but I felt something was wrong, and I did my best to stay in the Word of God. But I was in the 1980s. I was asked to take over an assistant salaried position in a church, and I held that position for 3 years. At the end of 3 years, my heart was so changed, not because of what I was doing, not because of what I heard, but because God was leading me away from that. There was some cultish ways that I didn't know, understand at the time that I totally understand now. But there was some cultish ways, and there was some. And when I got out and I resigned and I left, the pastor at that time, and I've never said this publicly, but I'm not, I have nothing to hide. My life's an open book. But as I left, he was telling parishioners, and he called two preachers, and he called me, and I have a reason for saying this, but he called me a black sheep. He said, now, a black sheep, I may not know all what it is, but I know it's not a white sheep. That's got to be bad. It's got to be really bad. So I was told this. So at the time, it really hurt me when I found, you know, people and preachers came to me and said, yeah, that man is calling you black sheep. It hurt. And sometimes it feels like you can't get through it. But, you know, I got to begin to think, and I thought, God, what are you calling me? What are you thinking about me? And you know what? As I got to thinking about it at the time, I thought, God, you said I'm your son. You said I'm an ambassador. You said I'm a more than conqueror. Wow. As I began to look into the Word of God and began to think of this through, I thought, it does not matter. I am not going to park at the point of my pain. You can't stay there. Yeah, it hurts. But God had something better. And at that moment, when all this was happening, I felt to go someplace. It was a small church, and I felt to go there, and I took my family and Rochelle, and I'm glad she's here. I thought, oh my, of all God's divine providence, I haven't spoken for a long time, and I may not for a while, and here she is, my daughter. She sat under a lot of my teachings on Wednesday night. I figure, you know what I figure? I figure she knows more than me, and I'll tell you how I figure this. John, I figure she sat under my teachings so much that she knows everything I know. Then she went to college, and then she learns all that she learns. So somehow she knows almost everything I know, then all she knows. So she ends up, she knows more than I do. Well, it's just fun thinking that way. But I'm glad she's with us. I'm so glad that she's here. So I took my family, Rochelle, our youngest daughter, and I took the family and I went to a little church for 4 years. And it was some of the happiest 4 years. It was the happiest 4 years I had for a long, long time. So I can believe people. I can listen to people. Or I can say, God, what are you saying about me? What do you want for me? In Revelations, we find a scripture, I think it's fantastic. And it's in Revelations 3, and we're going to read that now. I could go to heaven on that scripture. I think about it. I could preach a whole message on that scripture. I could live on that scripture. I could die and go to heaven on those scriptures. That's so fantastic. It's not because Dave read it or I'm saying it. It's there. Think about that. Do your homework. Read that again when you get home. Revelation 3, 20 through 22. I'm so excited about that. Jesus said, come. Come and dine with me. You can be an overcomer. You can sit with me in my throne. Doesn't matter what people say about you. Doesn't matter what people think. Jesus said in the last book, almost before he left the earth, come. He said something. I mean, that is just glorious. I hope I'm not the only one that feels that. Those are Jesus bumps. That's Jesus chills. I'm telling you. We find another scripture that Jesus was awesome. He spoke in Matthew 11. Who had Matthew 11, 28? Listen to this. Jesus said this. My goodness. He said, come unto me, all you that are weary and heavy laden. You know, he knew. Jesus walked in sandals. He didn't have a home. He had, he knew what it was to feel tired. He knew what it was to feel hungry. And he said, come to me. And not because he could help us in the physical, because Jesus is no longer in the physical. But when he went away, he said, I will send you a comforter. I will send you the Holy Spirit. And he shall be a comfort to you, and he shall live in you, and he shall be in you. That's why on the day of Pentecost, they listened for God's voice, and they waited upon the Holy Spirit to come into them. In the Old Testament, the Holy Spirit moved on people. Isaiah said, "The Spirit of the Lord is upon me." Listen real close. I have a lot to say because I haven't spoke for a while, and I may not speak for a while. So you're going to get it all. It's my double shotgun night this morning. Now I lost my place. Where was I, Joe? Oh, what was I saying? Oh, of the Spirit of the Lord upon me. In the Old Testament, the Spirit of the Lord came upon him, and that's why Isaiah said, "The Spirit of the Lord is upon me to anoint me and preach the gospel," etc., etc. But the Spirit of God came upon people. Okay? Now, we live in a whole different dispensation. In the New Testament, they waited for the Holy Spirit, and it filled them and came into them. How it works, it doesn't matter. Because that's God's work and God's business. But he said, "Now I will fill you." And in Matthew, he said, in earth. Well, that's the Lord's Prayer. It talks about in earth. But he said, on the day of Pentecost, they will fill. But I just wanted to throw that in. That the Holy Ghost, the Holy Spirit, now resides in our spirit, in our soulish realm. And part of our soulish realm is our thinking and our mind. I mean, you can't think without, I mean, there has to be some connection there because we're a triune body, serve a triune God. Body, soul, and spirit, and we serve the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit. So, you know, there's a connection there. But I just wanted you to know the Spirit of God lives within our spirit and in our being. He just doesn't come upon us. And we comes upon us, and he comes in us. He changes us. He can change us. We can go from earthly things to heavenly things, from glory to glory. He's changing us. So we go into a different feeling. He begins to alter our inner man. And then we begin to feel a peace. We begin to feel happiness. We begin to feel excitement. And we may even feel unselfishness. We begin to feel compassion. Reverend Jenks, as you know, said this. It was so awesome to a lot of us that Reverend Jenks said when he comes in that door, he and people can feel compassion in our church. And I think that's so great. That's a testimony. That's a testimony from a man that's been in the ministry from that. All of us should hang on to that and know that. That's great. It's great. But that's a God thing. And you know what? There's been people that's been hurt. It doesn't matter where they are, who they are, who's listening, who's been in this church, who hasn't been in this church. Everyone is welcome. Everyone is welcome back. Don't park at the point of your pain. God wants to move us onward. He wants to move us forward. He wants to move us in the right direction. And we're going down the path of righteousness. We're going down his glorious path. So come and join us. Because every single one of us could walk out of here this morning. But here we are. Because we want what God wants. If I didn't bring the word to you, I wouldn't stand here. Because this is the scriptures. This is the word of God. Philippians 2:5. Who had that? Somebody's going to read that for us. It's amazing to me that the scripture says, "Let this mind, you know, be in you." Somehow we're supposed to relate to Christ in such a way that we think like him, we act like him. Now, do we always? No, but that's our goal. That is our goal. We got to have a goal. Let this mind be in you. Let the attitude be in you. Let the spirit of Christ be in you. He was a very humble man. He suffered. Let us not be weary in well-doing, for we shall reap if we faint not. I believe it. Individually and corporately. Our flesh always looks for an easy way out. But I don't want to give you false hope, so I will say this openly. I didn't write this sentence. But this person said, if your soul has been severely wounded through abuse, rejection, loss, abandonment, long-term illness, or any other thing, the journey toward healing won't be painless. But once you have your healing, you can keep it and enjoy it for the rest of your life. Wow. Isn't that glorious? Isn't that glorious? We don't have to park at the point of our pain. If we've been hurt, or if we felt something, or if something happened in our life, or we lost a loved one, or somebody said something to us, no matter what happened, God can take us onward and upward and past the point of our pain and change us from our selfish ways into unselfish ways. He can make us optimistic. He can give us happiness. He can give us joy, unspeakable and full of glory. Hallelujah. So we all live with times in our life that's been difficult, but he wants to set us up. He wants to move us forward. And I want you to be encouraged that God can do that through his precious word. In 1 John 3, 2, that'll be the last one we'll actually read. I'm sorry, I forgot who he gave that to. Thanks. 1 John 3, 2. Cool. Revealed. God has to reveal that to you. This is a Himalayan lamp, so I'm going to talk about that just for a few minutes. Because, you know, and a lot of times in the scriptures, it talks about, it gives us illustrations, it gives us sermonettes, and it gives us parables and things. And I don't know, it just came to me about this Himalayan lamp. It's a salt lamp. The Himalayan salt is... thank you, Georgia, for reading that. The Himalayan salt comes out of a mine from the base of the mountains in the Himalayas. And I'm not advocating that this is scientifically correct, but they claim it, and it makes some sense to me. And then we'll look at it in a spiritual aspect. But Himalayan salt is an extremely pure pinkish salt extracted from deep within the mines of Pakistan, the Himalayas. In each mineral-rich hunk of salt, which has calcium, copper, iron, magnesium, and potassium in it, is hollowed out and a light bulb is placed inside, which triggers the salt's healing qualities. How this is supposed to work is the air goes inside the Himalayan lamp, and the air inside is heated up and in funnels out, because heat rises, through the salt. And it's supposed to purify the air that you breathe. Salt in general has several basic qualities, including the ability to attract molecules of water from the surrounding environment. Helps loosen mucus, helps fight bacteria and inflammation. As salt is removed from the water, it gathers pollen, pollutants, mold, and other airborne particles. A lit, heated Himalayan salt lamp attracts these water molecules and other substances and traps them in the lamp. Because the lamp is heated, the salt dries and retains the pollutants while emitting the water vapor. That is Science 101. I'm not familiar with Science 102 because it talks about ions and all that stuff, and I have to leave that to Joe and Dave. I'm not good with Science 102, so I'll stick with the basics. But the Himalayan lamp is, you know, you see them all over, but I you know, we have two of them, and I do burn them, and but there's a little light in there. And, you know, I was thinking, wow, isn't that so cool that we're kind of like, you know, we have the light now inside of us. It's not on the outside, but God lives inside of our spirit and inside of our hearts. Our physical heart? No, our spiritual hearts, our inner man. He lives inside and he lights us. And and the word of God takes us and begins to purify us. And what can it do? Well, the Himalayan lamp claims, I didn't claim, but they do claim that there's a benefit to this. They say it improves your mood. Yeah, I know somebody that needs one of these lamps. That was for fun. It improves your mood. And that's where it gets into the negative and positive ions and depression and all that stuff. That's science 102. I can't quite understand all of it. But if it does, it's a good thing. It eases our symptoms of allergy or asthma. They claim it promotes a calming effect. That I can attest to. Because there's something about it when it's dark and that thing glows. It just has a nice calming effect. Himalayan salt's different than the salt on the table. Himalayan salt comes from an actual salt mine that has a lot of minerals in it. It's really interesting. But they claim it relieves anxiety, promotes happiness, and a calming effect, and increases energy levels. See? You wondered, didn't you? You wondered. I got two of them. I didn't plan on saying that. I apologize. But, you know, God does such wonderful things in us. He wants to make us, you know, we are emotional people. And he wants to take us from, you know, where we're at and just build us up, encourage us, and just strengthen us. And when he does that, I believe it becomes a reality to us. That's why I enjoy the word. Not because it's the word of God, but because it's the word that's alive. It's the word that has been a reality to me. I have the revelation of it. And that's why a lot of people, you'll listen to them and they say, I don't read the Bible because I don't understand it. It's because we have to get an illumination. And we have to be filtered by it. It has to come to our hearts. And when it does, wow, it can change our life. It can change our life. And that's why the scripture says you're a new creature in Christ. Old things are passed away. But, you know, so I want you to know we can have confidence. We can have affirmation. And a lot of that is our self-thinking and self-talk. We have to say it right. We want to talk it right. We want to think it right. And when we do that, our life can be better. Our life can be better. I'm happy. The Word of God can make us a very competent, confident, happy person. If you sit at the place of your wounds, if you sit at the place of denial, if you sit at the place of I don't think I can ever move on. If you sit at the place I've been knocked down, you'll stay there. But God doesn't want you to stay there. He wants you to rise you up. Raise us up individually and as a church. And you know, I know people that won't go to church. I know people all my life. In my mind, I know people that says that I don't need church. I just need this book. But that's not the way Apostle Paul set it up. He went out establishing churches because there's something about the getting together. There's something about fellowship. There's something about gathering yourselves together, and it's Bible. It just is. So if we think right, talk right, believe right, our life will be so much happier. We do have days of depression. We do have days of toughness. We do have days that we think, I don't know if I can get through this day. But I believe that we can. I believe that we can. Embrace it. Let it become a reality to us. Let the Word of God purify us, just like the Himalayan lamp purifies the air, and we shall overcome. And we shall take the Word of God, and we shall be filled with it, and it will make a difference. I'd like to end with a prayer this morning. Not my prayer. I'd like to end with a prayer that when I was in Florida, I picked up this card, and unfortunately, I had to copy them on a copy machine. But if the ones that have these would please pass them out now. I want to end this morning with a prayer called the Prayer of Jabez. It's in the First Chronicle chapter 4, verse 10. I'd like everyone to have one because I'd like to end with a prayer from the scriptures to give our hearts encouragement, to give our heart life. And it's somewhat paraphrased. I don't know which version they use, but 1 Chronicles 4:10, it's so overlooked. This prayer is so overlooked, and I thought it was so good. I wanted to bring it to you this morning, and I wanted you to have it in your person. So I wanted to pass one out to every person. The copies aren't always the best. There's actually a rainbow down through the center a little bit of this main one. But for you that are listening, for you that may be on Facebook, for you that may be here this morning, I want to end with this, and we'll all say amen. So I want to end this. I pray that I will, you know, that something I said will be an encouragement to you, and that you'll see that, you know, God is on our side and God is on your side. Read with me in our dismissal. Read with me. I will read this. Just look at me. Look at the words, I'm sorry. And while it says in 1 Chronicles, the prayer of Jabez, Lord, bless me indeed. Do something so big in my life that it is obviously from you. Increase my influence and opportunities for you. Give me the sense of your continual presence and direction. Protect me and keep me from falling into Satan's traps in Jesus' name. And everybody said, amen. God bless you.